कुंज विहारे गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण सो यस्टर्डे in discussing the twenty-ninth chapter, Kapiladev started discussing about the mixed devotional service. Devotional service in mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. Sattvika bhakti, rajasik bhakti and tamasik bhakti. So in that context, we started discussing an important topic on are we practicing pure devotional service or not? Because this is something which is often less understood, misunderstood, subject matter. So this is something that we need to understand very clearly, because our acharyas, they give clear definitions for all these subject matters, and it's not a vague subject matter. So one needs to understand it very clearly, because if we are not practicing pure devotional service, or if we are not qualified for pure devotional service, then apart from practicing Navada Bhakti, we might have to practice something else also. So therefore, this is a subject matter which needs to be understood. Many times, the problem mainly comes with misunderstanding purity of faith with strength of faith. Many times, weak faith is interpreted as impure faith, or so therefore this subject matter needs to be analyzed and thoroughly understood, so that we understand what exactly is the Abhideya we are supposed to follow, and what should be the guiding light for our practice. Because if we say that we are practicing mixed devotional service, then Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is not the grantha for us, because Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu does not talk about mixed devotional service, Abhideya. So this needs to be understood very clearly, and this is, believe it or not, all over often misunderstood or not understood topic. So this needs to be properly evaluated and understood, so that so that it gives us some kind of confidence in what we are practicing. Otherwise, as Rupa Goswami says, utsahan nischayat dhairyat tattat karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vritte sadbir bhaktir prasidyati. Of the six things which need to be which enhances one's practice of devotional service, one of the things is nischaya. What is the meaning of nischaya?
Confidence,
endeavoring with confidence. So one can endeavor with confidence only if one is clear about the path, whether what I am practicing is right or wrong. Am I aspiring for the right thing, or is it that what I am aspiring for is so difficult that I cannot get it, so I must tone down my aspiration to something less? What is it? These are like common doubts. So unless these doubts are removed, it is very difficult to endeavor with confidence. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his essay on Nischaya, in the book Bhaktialoka, he mentions that unless doubts are removed, one cannot endeavor with confidence. Dhavan nimilyava netre naskalena pate diha. The path of bhakti is mentioned as a highway where you can run with your eyes closed. So who would be willing to run with an eyes closed? Only when one is very clear about what lies ahead in the path. If one is not sure that, you know, there may be potholes, manholes, speed breakers, then thorns, pebbles, then one would be very hesitant to run with his eyes closed. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you don't remove your doubts, then you will not be able to endeavor with confidence on the path of bhakti. So therefore, we can remove our doubts, and interestingly, our acharyas have given very clear-cut explanation of the process. We don't have to worry at all. The process is quite clear. So that's what we are trying to understand through various definitions. What is it that we are practicing? So yesterday we quickly, I'll do a quick recap. Some of the devotees were not there. So we saw the definition of pure devotional service. As I mentioned that whenever the person, you present this definition, devotees say, Prabhuji, first quality itself is a question mark. Anya bilashita shunyam. You know, I don't think I do have other desires, so maybe I am not practicing pure devotional service. Then we saw the definitions of mixed devotional service. We saw the definition of tamasic bhakti, rajasic bhakti and sattvika bhakti, which from a very superficial level very much seems like fitting all our practice of devotional service. That we also seem to get angry, fall trapped to pride, fame, desire for liberation, material gain, all these which are products of the three modes, we also seem to have these desires. So is it that we are practicing mixed devotional service? Sometimes sattvic, sometimes rajasic, sometimes tamasic bhakti. So then we discussed the definition of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which is given little later in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. He quotes this verse. Jata Shraddho Matkatasu Nirvinna Sarva Karmasu Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman Parityage Api Anishwaraha Tato Bajeta Mam Prita Shraddhalur Dhrida Nishchaya Jushamanas Chatan Kaman Dukko Darkams Chagarhayan. So here we saw the various characteristics of Vaidhi Sadhana, and it seems like Rupa Goswami or Krishna, while speaking to Uddhava, has accounted for some material desires even in Vaidhi Sadhakas. And Rupa Goswami says, like as it is mentioned in Parityage Api Anishwaraha. We saw this definition yesterday. Now I want you to tell these various aspects that I am going to read, various symptoms, where are they, what is the source of this conviction? Okay, whether it is one's value system, Shraddha, or conditioning, Swabhava. Jata Shraddho Matkatasu, where is it born out of? Huh? Value system, Shraddha, the word Shraddha is there. Nirvinna Sarva Karmasu, value system. Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman, Shraddha, and to some extent there is some Pratyaksha also of that. It is not just Shraddha. To some extent there is Pratyaksha. You have experienced it also.
I was not there in the class. Can you differentiate faith and this
value system? Just wait for 2 minutes, Prabhu. And in the next slide I am addressing it. Parityage api anishwarah. Where is it? Huh? Conditioning. He is not able to give up sense gratification, not because of his value system, but because of his conditioning. Jushamanascha tankaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. Where is it coming from? Value system. Repentance is coming from an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Right?
Unable to give up is from Swabhava.
Yeah.
The next part of it is from Shraddha.
Repentance is from Shraddha. Okay. So Krishna says, Tato Bajeta Mam Prita Shraddhalur Dhrida Nishchaya. In this, Krishna addresses Utsaha Nishchaya Dhairya, all three. Prita, enthusiasm, happy and enthusiastically practiced. Dhrida Nishchaya, determination, is what?
Endeavor with intelligence.
What is that? Dhrida Nishchaya is what? Dhairya. Patience needs determination. Na? That, and patience also indicates Shraddhalur. One can be patient if one has faith that the result is coming. So, enthusiasm, patience and confidence. Okay, so that is what Krishna is mentioning. Endeavor with confidence, patience and determination. Don't doubt the process. The process works. try to learn the process and see what to expect at what stage of your devotional development. So then we saw that these desires are of two types. Desires which are born out of one's value system or Shraddha.
What is the Sanskrit word for value system?
Shraddha.
Faith, no?
Faith. Faith. And desires which are born out of one's conditioning, Swabhava. Shraddha talks in terms of what is right, what is wrong. And Swabhava talks in terms of what do I like, what do I don't like. And there is a constant tug of war between these two, Shraddha and Swabhava. Sometimes we know that it is right, but we don't like to do it. Sometimes we know that it is wrong, but we really like to do it. And sometimes in this pull, the pull of the Swabhava becomes very strong, and we may end up succumbing to doing the wrong thing or not doing the right thing. Okay, so the desires which are born out of one's Shraddha, they are called as Abhilasha. And the desires which are born out of one's Swabhava, they are called as Anartha. Anartha means unwanted desires. So actually there are these two simultaneously exist in the heart of a sadhaka. Like the desire to please one's spiritual master. It is a desire born out of Shraddha. Huh? And parallelly in that same heart, the desire to enjoy forbidden objects is also there. Like lust towards the opposite sex. But where is that desire born out of? Swabhava. Anartha. I want to progress in spiritual life. That desire is there, which is born out of Shraddha. But at the same time, sometimes angry feelings are there towards one's other person. So that may be there. So which is born out of one's Swabhava. So we saw yesterday that bhakti is anya abhilashita shunyam and not anya anartha shunyam. Uttama bhakti is anya abhilashita shunyam. One should not have any other desire which is born from the faith, Shraddha, other than the desire to please Krishna. But there could be parallelly existing some desires born out of one's conditioning which may be pratikul to the desires which are born out of our Shraddha. So therefore they are called as anartha. So anartha nivritti, if you say that uttama bhakti must be free of anartha, anarthas also, then these nine stages which are mentioned, adav, shraddha, tata sadhu sangha, ata bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti. Is it like till anartha nivritti it is mixed devotional service? Then from nishta onwards it is pure devotional service? And actually if you see, Madhurya Kadambini describes that the anarthas completely get destroyed only at the stage of prema. Which means, is it like mixed devotional service till the stage of bhava? No. These are all stages of pure devotional service only. Even when it is shraddha, when it is sadhu sangha, when it is bhajana kriya, when it is anartha nivritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema, all these are practices of pure devotional service only. So Krishna does not put a prerequisite of freedom from anartha to practice uttama bhakti. When we may say, what is wrong in speaking about it? Abhi, that you may say that, Prabhuji, aapka itna lust, anger, greed hai, aap to shuddha bhakti practice hi nahi kar rahe. What happens, it discourages that person. Rather, we should encourage him to see that how shuddha bhakti is capable of destroying his anarthas so that he will be inspired to practice it nicely. rather than telling अरे आप तो शुद्ध भक्ति के लिए लायक ही नहीं है, which is not what Krishna says, which is not what Rupa Goswami says. We should not be discouraging people like this. Krishna is encouraging. Tato bhajeta mam prita shraddhalur dridanischaya yushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkam sagarhayan. So in this regard we discussed from the board about the nature of faith. Shraddha is of broadly two types. Is it still there? So Shushrut Prabhu, can you bring the board here? So yeah, just hold it. So Shraddha is of two types. One is Shastriya Shraddha and the other is what is called as Laukiki or Swabhavajam Shraddha. So Shastriya Shraddha means Shraddha or faith that is born out of the conclusions of scriptures. And Laukiki or Swabhavajam Shraddha means Shraddha which is born out of one's own experiences, past experiences, Swabhava. The Shastriya Shraddha is of two types, pure Shraddha and mixed Shraddha. One who has pure Shraddha, he practices pure devotional service. One who has mixed Shastriya Shraddha, he worships, he performs either Sattvika Bhakti, Rajasik Bhakti or Tamasik Bhakti as explained in this chapter. And within the category of Sattvika Bhakti comes Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti if it is Nishkama Karma Mishra, and Sakama Karma Mishra Bhakti comes under Rajasik, like that. And in Tamasik Bhakti you have many different kinds of, you know, tantras and things like that, which may include worship of Vishnu. And we saw that within pure devotional faith, there are three categories of people that Rupa Goswami describes: Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama. A Kanishta has Komala Shraddha, very weak faith, but still it is pure. So many times when it is very weak and the conditioning is very strong, we may see that this person, whether he is practicing pure devotional service or not. So at that point of time, his faith needs to be protected by practitioners of pure devotional service so that his pure devotional faith will enhance. But at that point of time, often what we do is to brand that person as a mixed devotee and push him in that direction, when he may lose his faith on practicing pure devotional service only. Okay. So sometimes he may not be able to always come for morning program. He may not be able to continuously chant 16 rounds. He may not be able to always follow the four regulative principles. These are all problems with the either two things: weak faith or conditionings. Both do not push him outside the realm of pure devotional service. In fact, there could be a big time gap between Shraddha and Bhajana Kriya also. Sometimes someone may develop pure devotional faith, but he may not start pure devotional practice for a long time. For me, it took 6 years from pure devotional faith to pure devotional practice. When I met devotees in 1999 in India only. So at that time I knew about ISKCON, I had heard their philosophy, I knew that what they are speaking is right. But because I had my own lifestyle which I was very much attached to, so I said I am not ready, but if I associate too much with these people, then I will have to give up my comfort zone. So I ran away from devotees for 6 years. Why did I run? Because I knew what they were speaking was right and one day I have to follow it. That Shraddha I had. But for it to manifest into Bhajana Kriya, It had to wait till 2005 from 1999. And it happened thousands of miles away in United States. So therefore you could have people, you could have time, and before Bhajana Kriya, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says there is Bhajaneshu Spriha. There is a stage when he desires to practice. One day I will practice. That is Bhajaneshu Spriha. He is actually Kanishtha Adhikari. One who has Shraddha itself is Kanishtha Adhikari. Even though Bhajana Kriya may not have started, he may just have a desire. Ek din mujhe bhi inke jaisa japa karna hai. One day I also want to dance in the kirtan like these devotees. Such person is also categorized under Shraddhavan, Komala Shraddha. So many times we have created institutionalized definitions which may not necessarily fit with the definitions given in the books. For practical purposes, we have created institutionalized definitions. But the definitions according to the scripture is very broad actually. Means like you may say like, is he a 16 rounder? Like we may say that, he does not come to morning program, so he is not a devotee, or like he is not a pure devotee, or you may be a mixed devotee, whatever. So we may have that kind of understanding, but that is not according to the Shastric definition. So that does not mean that, you know, I am recommending that someone has a, you know, a diluted practice, but the point is that the Shastras give a very clear cut definition of what it is. So these terminologies, mixed devotional service, pure devotional service, they are not used loosely. So that's what we are trying to understand, what it means. So on the other hand, there is this Swabhavajam Shraddha, Shraddha which is born purely out of one's Swabhava, which can also be influenced by the three modes. So when we say influence of the three modes affect only two things. One is either the conditioned impressions, or it can affect the Shraddha. If it affects the Shraddha, which is pure initially, then it leads to mixed devotional service. But if there is no Shastriya Shraddha, if there is only Swabhavajam Shraddha, and if that is affected by the three modes, then it leads to worship of the Devatas, worship of the Yakshas, Rakshasas, worship of Pretas, Bhutaganas, like that. That kind of worship is born out of Swabhavajam Shraddha, which is contaminated by the three modes. So this is what we discussed yesterday. This is a brief recap. So if there are any quick comments, questions, discussions, we will take before we move on to further Shastric evidences for this concept that we have discussed. We had already discussed it. That's what we discussed it. Elaborately we discussed it. No. See, Devata worship, I will briefly mention and we will put an end to this topic here, because hours after hours we have discussed and still the same question keeps coming. Huh? Oh, he was not there. But didn't we discuss it in the class? Okay. So, Devata worship. Okay, you can share the recording with him. You can hear. 2 hours we discussed in detail about this. Yes. No, we will take your point after you hear that. And still if you have that question, then we will take. Because 2 hours we discussed only about demigod worship. So you go over the whole thing, and after that, if you still have the question, or else we will take the question of the class. One sentence, okay. If you are satisfied with that, I will tell. Yeah, go ahead. Devata worship. What? What is the question? Devata worship is not shastric. It's not, I don't say it is not shastric. It is not born out of Shastriya faith. Because Arjuna asked this question at the beginning of 17th chapter. Ye shastra vidhim utsrijya yajante shraddayanvita tesham nishtatu ka Krishna satvamaho rajastama. My dear Krishna, what is the nature of faith of those people who give up the shastric conclusions and worship, but they may worship with faith? What is the nature of that faith? So Krishna says, Trivida bhavati shraddha dehinam sa swabhavaja sattviki rajasi chaivat tamasi cheti tam shrunu. He says, my dear Arjuna, that kind of faith which may not be born out of shastric conclusions is born out of one's own swabhava, swabhavajam, and that is of three types, sattviki, rajasi, tamasi, he says. And then he, in the next verse, he says, yajante sattvika devan yaksharakshamsi rajasan pretan bhutaganan chanye yajante tamasajana. Of those people who possess this swabhavajam shraddha, those whose swabhavas are predominantly sattvic, they worship the devatas. Those whose swabhavas is predominantly rajasic, they worship the yakshas and rakshasas. And those whose swabhava is predominantly tamasic, he worships pretas and bhutaganas, like that. Not in one line, we have discussed in detail. Yes, Vrajaraj going through.
I have two questions.
Yesterday also you had two. You get questions in pairs, I think. Huh? Gornitai. Okay, I can hear you.
Indra means devotee.
Indra is a post. The next Indra is Bali Maharaj. He is not a mixed devotee. And mixed devotee, whether one is a mixed devotee or a pure devotee, can be evaluated based on certain activities performed by Indra in certain pastimes indicate that at that time of that pastime he was a mixed devotee, the current Indra, Purandara. But having said that, there is a good chance that he must have met some pure devotees and his faith may have upgraded to pure devotional faith also. We do not know. But one thing that we can say is, from certain episodes, acharyas do indicate that during, at that point of that episode, that particular personality was a mixed devotee. But having said that, that faith can change when someone comes in touch with a pure devotee. Huh? Yeah, but that is just a post. The personalities occupying that post need not necessarily always be mixed devotees. Second question.
Suppose a person comes in contact with devotees, and because of bad experience, he feels he has been hurt, and therefore he has left the association.
Mm.
Is his devotional faith covered, or is it lost?
See, just as faith develops through agyat sukriti, sukriti means favorable experiences in bhakti. Similarly, by constant unfavorable experiences in bhakti, one may lose one's faith also. Especially if that unfavorable experiences inspires him to commit offenses. So, that is the... Krishna talks about three kinds of people. Agnyascha, ashraddadanascha, samshayatma vinashyati. Nayam lokostinaparo nasukam samshayatmanaha. There are three kinds of people. Agya means one who is grossly materialistic, who has no faith in, no understanding of spiritual subject matters and no faith in them. He is Agya. And Ashraddha Dana is one who may have academic knowledge of scriptures, but he may not believe that it is meant to be applied in personal life. Like, I have one of my aunts, I think I shared it with you before. She is like a double MA, MA in Sanskrit and MA in philosophy. She has been teaching Sanskrit and philosophy for a long time. Especially, you know, she has read the Sharirika Bhashya and Ramanujacharya Shri Bhashya and all that. So she can anytime present Shankaracharya's argument, then present Ramanujacharya's argument and defeat it, and present and all those things, you know. But at the end of it, when she is in trouble, she spontaneously says, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, like that. So, this is, she knows the elaborate philosophy, everything, but it was of academic interest. But when it comes to faith, her faith was not Shastriya, it was Svabhavajam. Okay. Then, the third category is, this is Ashraddha Dana. Then the third is Samshayatma. Samshayatma is one who came to the process, received favorable impressions, received pure devotional Shraddha, but because he was not properly protected, his faith was not properly protected, he came across various people who may have damaged his faith. So eventually he may lose that faith also. So, therefore it is everyone's responsibility. That is, it is important to bring in new people, give them fresh faith in pure devotional service. But it is as important to protect the faith of those who have already taken up to the process. So if they get favorable, happy, satisfying experiences, then their faith will enhance. Otherwise, he will end up becoming a Samshayatma, doubting soul. Samshay is good. Doubt is a sign of intelligence. But to become a doubting soul is very dangerous because he can't enjoy. Nayam lokosthi naparo nasukam samshayatmanah. He cannot have any kind of enjoyment. Because anything, are isme kuch poison hai to? Are ye mujhe praise kiya, par kuch to kuch teda nazar lag raha hai unka, matlab kuch to teda lag raha hai, you know. Like, if one becomes like that, such a hellish life. But the point is, the whole community is responsible. We all are responsible. We all have a role to play. That if our dealing with that person would have given him positive experiences, it would have at least saved him somewhat from becoming a Samshayatma. So like that, you know, we all have a responsibility towards each other, that through our dealings, you know, we have to act in such a way that his faith gets reinforced in the process, in the association of Vaishnavas. So that otherwise potentially one could lose one's faith.
This losing of faith will not happen unless we commit offenses.
It may become weaker and weaker and weaker. Quite possible.
Really? Yeah. Same in this direction.
Why is the mic not working?
In this direction, now you mentioned one point, who is responsible for receiving or experiencing unfavorable experience? Suppose let's say one person is experiencing unfavorable impressions. Now, for that, one is also community is responsible. And at the same time,
yeah, both. each one has to be concerned about his responsibility. The person who is receiving the unfavorable response, he has the responsibility to from his side, and the other people also have their responsibility. Both have to.
What an individual can do?
Learn to give benefit of doubt. So by learning to separate the person from his conditioning. Because unfavorable experiences are mostly due to unfavorable conditioning seen in that other person. He is acting angrily, he is acting very irritable, he is always chastising, he is always criticizing. But these are all conditionings. That is not that person. The person does not stand for that. The person stands for Prabhupada's mission. So if a person can learn to separate conditioning from what he stands for, just like we expect others to discount our conditioning and look at what we stand for,
our intentions.
Similarly, if we learn to see that other person's conditioning from his intentions, then we will also protect ourselves from unfavorable experiences. But having said that, the other person should know that even though my intentions may be good, but the intentions are not evident. What is evident is my conditioning. So in order to protect that person's faith, I must try to curb my conditioning. Like that the other person should think. Who is the provider of experience? One who is gaining that experience should put conditioning filter, which filters out conditioning and like that.
Actually, it is bound to happen in the material world. One person, even the practitioner practicing bhakti, somehow or the other, either by in devotee association or in the material world, he gets unfavorable experiences.
Correct.
So that ideally should not block him in practicing again.
Yeah, that's ideal condition, but negativity even unconsciously saps one's devotional energy. No one consciously does. Abhi mujhe bahut bura lag raha hai, so I will chant 2 rounds less today. No one thinks like that. It's not a conscious thing. Unconsciously, negativity saps one's enthusiasm and determination. Ambal.
Yeah, and regarding this Shastri Shraddha, which is of two types, pure and
mixed.
So, I wanted some clarification, like somebody who is a pure devotee who comes in touch and has faith in the words of that pure devotee, so he might, you know, take up devotional service. So he gets, you know, faith in Shastra and starts practicing pure devotional service.
Mm.
But how does one get mixed devotional service? Because in the Gita also Krishna tells that 4 kinds of people come to me. So how do you evaluate that somebody has got a mixed devotional Shastri Shraddha by which he is practicing this, and somebody has got pure devotional Shastri Shraddha by which he is practicing pure devotional service?
Yeah, by spending some time and trying to understand that person, he will reveal his heart, you know, what he is practicing, who has inspired him, why he is practicing. So one can understand the purpose of.
But this mixed, how do we?
How do we get mixed devotional faith? Mm-hmm. Mixed devotional faith can come in 2 ways. One is through coming in touch with the mixed devotees. One can get that kind of faith. Okay, I will first take this point and then we will discuss that point also. And the second way in which one can get mixed devotional faith is if one, in a ritualistic way also, keeps performing his varnashram duties pious, you know, piety. Through piety also one gains mixed devotional shraddha. So that is also another way. This is described in the explanation of first chapter of Madhurya Kadambini, where he talks about bhakti does not depend on purity and faith. So in that he talks about how bhakti does not depend on other processes. So in that he talks about how sometimes by dana, tapa, etc. one develops bhakti, he says. And Vishnu Chakradhakur explains that that bhakti which one develops by this dana, tapa, kriya, etc. That is actually mixed devotional faith, he says. But the mixed devotional sattvic faith, which acts as an assistant to the process of jnana or ashtanga yoga, that one can develop by pious activities. But the pure devotional faith, one develops only by association of pure devotees. Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Mixed faith also comes from mixed knowledge. The kind of knowledge he gains, just like pure devotional faith comes from...
Mixed. Before knowledge, faith has to be there, no?
So, we say the seed of pure devotional faith is in Sutrapti Chandrami, the first or second chapter. They say how the mixed faith comes.
Correct.
Mixed knowledge,
correct. But mixed pure devotional faith gets strengthened by proper sambandha jnana. But even before the sambandha jnana comes, the faith manifests. So the initial faith comes by experience, agyat sukriti,
which is mix, then faith may get contaminated.
Yeah. That is bound to happen. If one associates with mixed devotees, then his faith will get contaminated. So now Prabhuji asks, does one's swabhava affect one's faith? Not directly. Like if the doctor says that to a diabetic patient that sweets are not good for you, but the person may like sweets a lot. So that does not mean that he will say that I will believe that from today sweets will be good for diabetic patients, so I will eat a lot of sweets. No. Because now that he has received that authentic bona fide faith from the doctor, that if you eat sweets, your life is in danger. So he may succumb to eating sweets because of his conditioning and addiction, sweet addiction. But in one sense, it does not directly affect the faith. What affects faith is association of people with alternate ideologies. So alternate ideologies, persons following alternate ideologies, books talking about alternate ideologies, these are the means by which one can allow one's faith to be contaminated. Generally, swabhava does not directly contaminate faith, but it can actually weaken the existing faith. Weaken in the sense, one may lose determination as to, I know it is correct, I know it is good, but I don't think I can do it because I don't have the strength to do it. One may feel like that. Because the more one indulges in sense gratification, the more one loses determination to get up from that and walk away.
So his practices will be swabhava.
Not practice will not be swabhava. Yeah, his practice will be mostly controlled by his pull of the swabhava, like that.
Also, like mixed faith is because of their intentions, because they worship the Lord, because they want to become free from distress, or they want wealth. That is the intention, not to worship the Lord, please.
No, that is correct. One may have those desires. Actually, this artha, artharthi and all, these are not fixed. And artha may at some point when he needs some wealth, he will become artharthi. And artharthi, when he gets some disease, he will become artha. So these are not fixed designations. These just indicate the impetus for approaching, for seeking shelter. But what is the impetus to seek shelter of Krishna? Jana Sukrutino Arjuna. So artho artharthi jigyasu jnani, they seek shelter. But when they are Sukrutinas, they seek Krishna's shelter. So yes, these desires, like when we came to Krishna consciousness also, we had all these desires. We still have after all these desires after coming to Krishna consciousness and practicing for so long. But just that we have moved it to the category of anarthas. We had lust before coming to Krishna consciousness. We have lust till now after coming to Krishna consciousness. Just that lust was a prayojan and now it has been moved to the category of anartha. We had greed, ambition to achieve something, that was a prayojan. We still have that. We succumb to it every now and then, but it is anartha. Like that. So, just because someone may have these desires before coming to Krishna consciousness, no one, so which means, if one is anyabhilashita shunyam before, is he the one who is most capable of taking up to pure devotional service? Not necessarily like that. So all of us at different points of times were either artha, artharthi, jigyasu, like that. But just that we came in touch with the right people, right persons. So therefore our value system changed. And when the value system changed, not that immediately all those desires vanished, but those desires were given a different name. Anartha. Like that.
So in that case, the mixed devotees also can become pure devotees. Right?
Yeah. If they come in touch with pure devotees, they can, when their value system changes.
So karma mishra, jnana mishra, when the mission is taken away, then they can become pure devotees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If non-devotees can become pure devotees, why not the mixed devotees?
Then this categorization of Shastri into two, pure and mixed, where is the reference in Shastri anywhere?
Oh, it's spoken many places. Vishnu Chakravarti could talk about it.
Any reference you can give us?
Shivaram Maharaj, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. You can read. He talks about pure faith, pure devotional faith and mixed devotional faith. In mixed devotional, even in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of artha, artharthi, jigyasu and jnani. He talks about pradhani bhuta, guni bhuta and shuddha. Pradhani bhuta is actually mixed devotional faith only. Guni bhuta is also mixed devotional faith. So, and here in these verses that we are talking about, it is sattvic faith, rajasic faith, tamasic faith. Next verse he is going to talk about pure devotional faith. But these are all shastriya. And when it is ashastriya, laukiki, swabhavajam, then it involves, it does not involve worship of Vishnu, like that. Bhagavacharam.
Pure devotion and shastriya faith, so there is a division of Kanishtha Madhyama.
Correct.
But a person who is practicing pure devotion service, he also succumbs to the modes.
Correct.
Three modes.
Correct.
But that is categorization not there. Means what happens when three modes are influencing
a
pure devotional practitioner?
That's what we saw, right? paritiyage api anishwarah. Sometimes he succumbs and he gets up, repents, increases his determination, strengthens his faith and moves on. What else should he do? Give up the process?
Because one will not be in any one mode always.
Yeah.
Different modes will keep.
Yeah. Because correct.
Like even in this politics, devotion is there.
Like see, that's what I have been trying to explain.
It is transcendental. So
when a person with pure faith succumbs to the modes, he succumbs because his swabhava is contaminated by the three modes. But when a mixed devotee succumbs, when a mixed devotee thinks he succumbs, then it is contamination of the swabhava. But when the mixed devotee is happily aspiring for mukti or bhukti by practice of bhakti, then his faith is contaminated by the three modes. Yeah, sakama bhakti. Yeah. So you understand? So when a pure devotee, when a practitioner of pure devotional service, a sadhaka, succumbs to bhukti, desire for sense gratification, that is due to contamination of his swabhava, the swabhava getting pulled. But when a mixed devotee is right royally praying to the Supreme Lord, give me some fame, give me some wealth, it is an indication that his faith is contaminated. And his swabhava is also contaminated. That is why he is asking for it.
Yes, this I understood. But 14th chapter talks about sometimes the rajas is higher.
Correct, yeah. Higher.
So, some individual soul may sometimes aspire for liberation. Then he will come into
Satvika
Bhakti. Is it like that?
Sometimes he may ask. Oh, like that. See. So, when 14th chapter talks about the modes being Rajas Sattvam, Tamas Chaiva, Tamas Sattvam, Rajas Tata, constant competing, constantly competing with each other. That is talking about with respect to the Swabhava. With respect to Shraddha, it is generally fixed. Because Shraddha, Shra means heart, Dha means to give. So one's value systems does not keep fluctuating like that. It's not that like, for example, the doctor says sweets are good for diabetic patients today and tomorrow he says it fluctuates and he says sweets are not good for and then again it fluctuates and he says actually sweets have nothing to do with diabetes. Not like that. So Shraddha is generally fixed. The influence of the modes in the Swabhava, that keeps fluctuating. Sometimes a Sattvaguni impression pushes you, sometimes a Rajaguni impression pushes you, sometimes a Tamaguni impression pushes you. Like that. Is it clear? Shraddha is fixed.
Shraddha is fixed
in the sense, unless acted upon by an external agent, it's like inertia.
What is your thought?
By wrong association, it can change. So unless acted upon by an external agent, Shraddha is fixed.
Shraddha is strong,
strong.
Huh? Is the association by which the Shraddha will change should be strong.
So yeah.
Somebody is honest, will not take. But if it's strong, only you will be.
Correct. But we can't take a chance.
It's obviously will avoid, but I'm saying.
Yeah.
And somebody is having that Shraddha will not associate because of the place on Shraddha.
Yeah.
In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when the Adhikar is spoken for those who are Adhikar having constructed in Bhakti, so Kanishtha Madhyama and Uttam is there.
Correct.
and then down there is also the other four. So all these other four also mixed, you know. So all these four, all these other categories also are eligible to practice pure devotional service. That's what Goswami is speaking there.
No, he is telling that those four, if they come in touch with pure devotees and change their faith, then they can practice pure devotional service. Otherwise, they are not even convinced of practicing pure devotional service because they have anya bilasha. So why would they practice pure devotional service? They are not anya bilashita ashunyam. They have other abhilashas. So they cannot. They don't want to practice. Not that no one is physically stopping them from practicing, but they themselves are not convinced. By receiving that Shraddha. If they receive that Shraddha through the association, then they practice.
Vijayendra was practicing pure devotional service in previous life. This life, because of offense, he forgot.
Hmm.
So then he said, Prajnanavar Sikshitam. So when he is suddenly coming across a situation, and he is not in any devotee association where he recollects. And how to understand, devotee association also not there, and it is lost, then again how suddenly to regain if it is not covered, he said.
Vijendra's specific case, I need to refer again. So the Lord gave him the remembrance. Something like that, but I will refer and let you know. I don't exactly recollect. Maybe, but I just want to see what exactly the Acharya is right. I will check and let you know. Not necessary. For Kripa, nothing is needed. Only Kripa. Yeah, I mean.
The previous was actually given that Rishi came and gave him shaap. That you forget that you become like Sir Vajra Sabdapati Evasa. Then the next verse, Lord quotes that Hari Archal Bhavana Yad Vajatve Apyanusri. Although your element remembered everything was of.
Correct.
Guruji, sometimes they see that devotees, after taking initiation from some guru, they don't, sometimes they go to other faith, sampradaya, they change sampradayas. Not often, but very rarely it happens. So in such cases, their shraddha is placed with one guru and again they are taking that step to go to other sampradaya. So, what about their faith and
solid one? Yeah, faith can always change depending on our association. So, whom we associate with, whom we are submissively hearing from, and that is what shapes our faith. So, even after accepting Diksha, if we are submissively hearing from someone else, those ideologies will only shape our faith. Just because we have accepted Diksha from someone, but if we are taking Siksha very sincerely from somewhere else, then how can we expect that we will still conform to the teachings of our Sampradaya only? It is not at all possible.
And we hear this very prominent one by Baldev Vidyabhushan. Previously, he was from other Sampradaya, he came to Vaishnavi Vaishnava Sampradaya. So, of course,
they are great acharyas.
So, in this case,
how exactly
how do we understand this?
He associated. In the case of Baldev Vidyabhushan, how do we understand?
In some way, I heard that he associated with Puri or
Puri.
Puri.
Puri. Well, name I don't remember.
Vidambar.
So he got influenced by his teaching.
Gaudiya Sampradaya
teaching, and he dedicated himself for that.
I mean, it's okay.
Previously they were performing pure devotional service only, and whether they change some other to become into other Sampradaya. Because they are highly elevated souls.
There is no mention that he changed his Diksha Guru. I think Radha Damodar. He met Radha Damodar. He heard from him Radha Damodar Goswami, and then he got influenced and he inspired him to go and take Siksha from Vishna, Srila Vishnachakravarti Thakur in Vrindavan. So, yeah, he took Siksha from our Sampradaya and eventually he started following our Sampradaya. So, I mean, he actually proves the point that where you take Siksha from, that's what will influence you. So, he took Siksha from our Sampradaya. But one does not generally give up one's Diksha Guru and does that, I think.
Because here in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's case, he is the spiritual master within Bihari
Goswami.
He
took Siksha from Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He didn't give up his Diksha Guru even though his Diksha Guru was quite fallen. Anything else?
And we hear about Bali Maharaj rejecting his own Guru.
Oh, that was that for Bali. All right reasons. This Guru asked him to not worship Vishnu, which is, and first immediately he should reject actually. Yes. Adi Bhagavan to.
This taking Diksha from other places, you know, within ISKCON also, when we say there is something like preceptor based teaching, which is like, we don't know whether it's right or wrong, which is contradictory. Now, in that, there is something mentioned that even if somebody takes teaching from somewhere else, one can maintain his loyalty and faith in the original person.
If one is so confident, one can.
I'm asking, how is it possible?
See, I mean, I don't know what you mean by preceptor based.
It means that taking Siksha from a particular set of devotees only.
Yeah, if it is authorized by the spiritual master, then it's okay. But they should get it confirmed from the spiritual master first. Dear Guru Maharaj, I am telling that they should listen only from me and know from no one else, and I don't allow them to hear anyone else's classes. Would you and me only, if you would approve of it or not, one can ask. If Guru Maharaj approves, then okay, no problem.
Because Guru sees the level of that Ronar, who is taking the role of preceptor, is very advanced. And he having the capacity to hold the faith of all the followers till he is living. He never falls down from the standard. And he is a role model for them. Guru had full faith. So some of the Guru
may allow such a system to function. That's okay. You can't tell that, you know, you can't make a blanket statement and say that is wrong. But if the Guru has approved, then it's okay. If the Guru has approved, why should we have a problem?
Some of the Guru, their mood, and they generalize that none of my followers should follow the preceptor system, allow them to hear from all bona fide Gurus, then that is the instruction we should follow.
Yeah, correct.
Suppose if a person is having a pure devotional faith, suppose if he mixes with someone else, he gets contaminated by mixed with devotional faith. So, and then again he associates with pure devotees again.
Quite possible. Yeah, he can regain.
Fluctuate also.
It can fluctuate depending on one's association.
And Praji, another thing, suppose if he attains perfection in that particular direction. Then the change will happen after the process.
Then he will start influencing na?
Others.
Let's say
seeing him, people will start chanting. On the level of perfection you are talking, on the level of perfection he has attained his Swarupa. So why would he change? He would not change. He will influence others to change. Seeing whom, people will start chanting.
So for the person who will mix a devotional faith, he attains his perfection. His abhilasha now is attained. Now, is there a chance for him to come to pure devotional faith after that?
Oh, good point. Possible. Possibility is the theoretical possibility. If he associates with pure devotee. But generally, would they generally they are satisfied with what they have achieved. Generally. But exceptional cases are there.
Because maybe it is still contaminated. So once they cross the, because it is in the, they cross the material.
That's why I am telling I am not telling it's impossible. It is possible. After achieving perfection. Perfection here we are talking about liberation. Either liberation. Sukadeva Goswami was Brahman realized. So if you say realization is perfection, then yes, definitely one can change. From many, many people who are Brahman realized, they changed. But after merging in Brahma Jyoti, or after attaining Salokya Mukti or Shantarati, the chances of people changing is very minimal. We don't often hear much about such kind of cases. But they are quite satisfied for the right reasons. They are quite satisfied with having achieved that perfection for that reason.
The
perfection means
perfection. Not that.
Yeah. Perfection there. Yeah.
Gop Kumar, he went higher.
Gop Kumar's case I have to study. I have not read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So I have to read exactly how it is explained. I cannot comment.
So in general, initiating spiritual master also is Shiksha Guru.
He can be, and he may be in most of the cases, but not always necessarily.
Yeah. So, let us say if Shiksha Guru is also Shiksha Guru, he speaks very extensively and also writes on the books. And it is understood that the disciples are supposed to follow his teachings. But in the current scenario where books of all other spiritual masters are also available, they are made available. And also so many other devotees, they speak. And they are all speaking Krishna Katha only, and the devotees, they hear. And devotees are encouraged to read books, even other books of other spiritual masters. So in this scenario, because there is no also formal rule that it should be like that. Since there is no such any formal information available. So, is it that sometimes some devotees they start following some other spiritual master and his teachings and they get kind of influenced?
It is mentioned that ideally one can to accept a particular Shiksha Guru, ideally one should take permission from the Diksha Guru. That is the ideal situation. To accept another Shiksha from another person, ideally one should take permission from one's Diksha Guru.
Generally in our forum here,
that doesn't happen so much. There are
innumerable. Even to chant Brahman Mantra, Guru don't have time. In such situation, it's impractical.
That's why in our system, like if we talk about, I think I see most are initiated by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. In that case, there is a counselor system. So, and in general, like if you see the IDC course, it gives a very nice principle. In the IDC course, it is mentioned that whichever spiritual master inspires you in following Srila Prabhupada's teachings, accepting. Whoever is perfectly in your understanding, reflecting Prabhupada's teachings, you know, you can accept him. So similarly, we can see that where we are taking siksha, if it is reinforcing the teachings of our primary siksha guru, that is our diksha guru and founder acharya, then, and if the guru in general is agreeable to this, because as far as I understand, Maharaj himself facilitates many of his god brothers to come and speak, which in itself proves that actually Maharaj is actually fine with taking siksha from his god brothers. He has always been like that. So I think that should be fine. Bhagavachran. I said constant means unless acted upon by an external.
Like many times there are external agents which are acting also, like three modes are also, we can consider external agents.
No, not in that sense. Not in terms of three modes. See, one's faith is shaped by, one's swabhava is shaped by objects, which may be in three modes. One's faith is shaped by persons and ideologies, which may also be in three modes. This is general principle. One's conditioning is shaped by things in three modes. One's faith is shaped by persons and ideologies. Persons means Shrestha and Pramana. Yadeda acharati Shrestas tattadeve tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastha danvartate. You get attracted to a person, over a period of time you will start automatically following his pramana. Sayat pramanam kurute lokastha danvartate. Like that. So generally things don't shape your faith. Persons and ideologies shape your faith. Therefore people's faith do not change if there is with the availability of sense gratificatory objects. But if a person is there, if YouTube guru is there and you are hearing, or if internet is there and you are reading extensively from some other writings, then the Shraddha gets affected. Otherwise, other things like easy availability of sense gratification, that corrupts our swabhava. And easy access to alternate ideologies and personalities, that shapes our faith.
Then why is there three different types according to the modes, if it is persons who influence?
So persons are also in three modes, no? So if you have a person whose faith is in sattva guna, and if you allow him to influence your faith, you will also develop sattvic faith. Like that.
Prabhuji, ISKCON, so if you see, we have, as we are discussing, different devotees who are having faith on different aspects of the mission. Like some may have faith in Buddhist mission, some may have faith in youth preaching, some may have faith in, farm development. Like this, different have different faith.
Yeah.
So now, when we have to choose, so we hear. As you said, Maharaj encourages to hear from different God brothers. So then
he encourages, but we have to be little discriminative. Basically, the generic principle is your siksha and your support system should be compatible. Okay, like for example, if you are in a support system where absolute emphasis where there is ample support for perfectly attending your morning program, let's say. And if your siksha that you are hearing also emphasizes the absolute importance of morning program, then you are in a compatible system where the system supports your siksha. So there is no strain. Let's say you are in a system which supports which may support some other aspect, and you are let's say you are in a system where it is emphasizing on youth preaching, and the siksha that you are hearing is constantly hammering on farm communities. So then you will be strained, even though both are bona fide aspects of Krishna consciousness. Then you will get the urge to contribute in farm community, and your system says, how many devotees did you make this month? Then you will say, what they are asking, you will feel. So therefore, your siksha and your support system must be compatible. So, if you are inspired by a different siksha, then change your support system, ideally. Or else, align your siksha with the support system that you have. So, you can't be hearing some other siksha and hope to stay in the same support system and adjust. So, if you are deeply convinced about farm communities or something like that, and you are not able to accept that, you know, you should be engaging your life, rest of your life in youth preaching, then you may talk to your authority and say, Prabhuji, this is what I am convinced of. And then you can take guidance. So ideally, your support system and your siksha, there must be compatibility. Then you can be peaceful in life. Like for example, in systems like, you can say like Pune, Rajasham Prabhu places absolute emphasis on morning program. Like we have one Hari Gopal Prabhu who is doing some congregation preaching under the guidance of Radha Gopinath Prabhu. So congregation programs are such that it cannot start practically before 8-8:30, especially in Mumbai. No one will come for the program. So, which means it will go on till 10:30. By the time then you come back and dress, it will be 11 o'clock. So, Radha Gopinath Prabhu said, those 2 days when you are doing, you fix your morning program schedule. Instead of that morning program starting at 4:30, let it start at 6 o'clock and then you fix your schedule accordingly, you do. So this is one. So Radha Gopinath Prabhu is inspiring him for, so the system, the support system that he is in encourages him to do congregation preaching, and the siksha that he is receiving supports. So he is happy. But let's say if he is in a support system of Radha Gopinath Prabhu, where he says 11-11:30, Prabhuji, whatever is the need, you have to fulfill the need. And then he takes siksha from somewhere else, where the absolute emphasis is on morning program. And what will happen to his health? He will be sleeping during the japa, and his health will get problem because of the upsetting of sleep cycle. He will get his bowel movement will become irregular, and then it will affect his mind and all those things. So the point is, there must be some compatibility between the siksha and the support system. As long as that is there, then one can be peaceful. So where you are, you receive the siksha that will nourish your stay in your support system. If it is impossible, then change your support system. But don't suffer. You know. your something else is burning, your blood is burning for padayatra, and you are sitting somewhere else, and so then it will become problem. So you can approach the bona fide authorities, express yourself and take guidance. Okay.
It's like said, the previous impressions or objects are shaking. But when one comes to Krishna consciousness, he serves for the Indonesian maybe 20 years, 30 years. So is it that the Swabhava, it also can become Krishna consciousness? I'm not saying the...
That's what is at the stage of bhava and prema. At the stage of bhava and prema, he does not have shastriya shraddha. He has swabhavajam shraddha only. Only in the intermediate stage it is swabhavajam shraddha. But that swabhava is pure, spiritual swabhava.
I'm not telling so high. I'm telling before that only. Whatever his inclinations are there, according to that, he wants to contribute to the mission.
That's okay.
So,
as long as it is within the purview of pure devotional service, that's fine.
If
someone is good at writing, he wants to write about Krishna and contribute, one need not neglect that swabhava.
Basically,
one can dovetail it. One can dovetail it in Krishna's mission. That is perfect. Okay, so we'll end here. It's already 10 o'clock. And we didn't start only. So we'll definitely start. We'll convene back at 12 o'clock and then we'll continue this discussion and move on with the chapter also. Srila Prabhupada ki Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.